I wanted to share a little bit today on, well, mainly we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to see how truly good God is to his people and how much he loves us and how much he always wants to take care of us and some of the great things that he did to prove that he wants to do this stuff for us. So we'll delve into that a little bit. We'll take a couple of detours here and there. But to start, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll start verse 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And that first, comfort ye, another meaning of it is take heart and believe. God wants us to take heart and believe that our sins are forgiven, right? And that he wants us to be comforted. He wants us truly peaceful with his peace. And at the end of that, we all know that that doesn't mean that God doubled our sins to us. Yeah. But what a great Orientalism that, you know, right, someone sins down on a piece of paper and you fold it and you cannot see those sins anymore. No one can see it, but not even God can see it. That's how much he removes our sin from us. He wants us comfort. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And that's a great mind picture to have for when we want to see God in our life, and we want to invite him in to help us, that there's no road, there's no high road, there's no low road, there's no pothole, there's no rough place that can keep our God from getting to us, because he wants to be with us. He wants to take care of us. There's no obstacle that can stop him from helping us. Verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And I guess you can turn in. I thought of Psalm 18. It's in the book of Psalms. But I thought about when one of God's kids needs help. And this is another great mind picture God gives us. Psalm 18, verse 4. It says, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And that's in a little bit of distress right there, right? That guy was in a little stress. Verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God was wroth because one of his kids was in distress. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Nothing can stop our God from getting to us when we need him and when we want him in our lives. Go back to Isaiah. Verse 6 we are in now. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness, the dependability of that flesh thereof is as the flower of the field. And what does the flower of the field do? It's pretty for a little while, right? And then kind of just gets burned up and fades away. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You know, when we try to do things of ourselves, it's like grass. You know, it's not, God's not trying to degrade us here. He's just trying to say, I'm greater than the grass. With me, you can do it. Without me, it's sketchy. So, we are not to depend on the grass. We are to depend on our God. Verse 8. The grass, here we go. It says it right here. See, the word explains itself. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's the thing we got to continue to do, is go to God and His Word instead of going to the grass. Unless you're at a baseball game. Verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Just in these few verses, all the wonderful things God wants for His people, and He's saying, get up on the mountaintop and lift your voice and tell people about your God, because He does great things. Behold, verse 10, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Verse 11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. The shepherd knows exactly, most of the time, what his flock needs. But God is saying He knows all the time. He knows every single thing we need. He knows when we're going through things. If no one else knows we're going through things, God knows we're going through things. And He is the one that can help. He shall gently lead those that are with young. And look at this, it says, He and carry them in His bosom. Picture yourselves in time of need, or any time, really, in God's bosom. Just Him loving you and loving us, and like, you know, like it said in verse 1, comforted by God, not by the grass. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, who hath measured the waters? Now this is how great God is. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? If you did some science and figured out all the water on the earth, you couldn't even fathom how much it is. And God holds it in His hand. That's how big our God is. And meted out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. That's how He made the mountains, the hills, just everything disappear. That's how big our God is. Now, verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? Who taught God? I don't think any of the angels say, hey God, I got a little better idea here. God.
Yeah,
man tries, but I don't think the angels are dumb enough. So no one taught God. He knows. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. That's a big God. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. That's unbelievable. Now, verse 18, here goes the man going to the grass again. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it with gold and cast a silver chain. So you can get some gold, make an idol, and basically the idol can just sit there and do nothing. And if you're not rich, verse 20, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not move, shall not be moved. It will fall over, but still won't do anything. But God can do everything. God, again, he knows his sheep. He knows the people of his pasture. He knows how to take care of us. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So God sitteth on the circle of the earth. So we do now we know that the earth is not flat. So those guys that have started that new thing up, they can
read the word.
That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And all these important people of the earth, God brings them to vanity. Because they don't know better than God. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. That's all that great knowledge of the world. It will be taken away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. God wants us to lift up our eyes to him, seek what he has for us instead of what the world has for us. That bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them, he's talking about the stars now. God created the stars, billions and billions and billions of stars, and he calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. He knows every star by name. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He knows when one of the stars are out of place. That's a big God. That's a great memory, too. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is he weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. That's a fourfold God. He is an everlasting God. He has no limit on time. The creator of the ends of the earth. He has no limits on space. He fainteth not, neither is weary. He has no limit of power. And is no searching of his understanding. And he has no limits in knowledge. He knows everything. He's strength. He's knowledge. He's all over the place. He's our God. He's there for us all the time. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Look, I mean, just that. If you have no might, he'll increase your strength. That's what God can do for us. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So our key is, one of the greatest things to do is to wait on our Lord, right? Wait on God instead of going to looking in the flowers of the field or the grass of the field. It's just going to basically wither away after time. If you would turn to Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse, let's start in verse 5. It says, let's read from verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. What's the thing that's going to stand forever? God's word, right? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you think God wants us to keep his word near us, his word in us, his word in our minds? Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear or respect the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Trust just means to place our confidence in him instead of being distracted by the things we see in the world every day. And you don't have to turn there, but in Psalm, verse 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And basically what God is saying is, be still and know that I am God and that you're not. You can't do the things I can do without me, without him. And that's why we got to just keep putting him and his word first. Go to Matthew. We'll take a little detour into the Gospels here. Matthew 14. And we'll start here in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He just got finished feeding a bunch of people with very little stuff. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. And that word cheer means courageous. Have courage. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. He didn't say, well, you know, there's a couple of stipulations. Did you bump me share this week? No, he said, come. And he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the grass and the flowers, the boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. That's the power we have when we look to God and not get distracted by things of this world that are numerous. But we have the antidote. We always have the antidote right here, which is God. In Matthew 6, a couple of chapters the other way, Matthew 6, verse 30, you all know this record. Another record of God taking care of everything for us, if we want him to. It says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Remember the record, and he takes care of the flock, he carries them when they need carrying, you know, holds them to his bosom, he tenderly watches over them, and that's what he does for us. He takes care of us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what God does for his kids. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, start at 23, it says, and when he was entered into a ship, Jesus Christ talking about, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. That's crazy. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeyed him? That manner of man was a man who believed what God told him. And that, you know, that can be, is the same for us. It can be more and more of the same for us. As we just keep looking to God and looking for him to take care of us and putting him first and endeavoring to just keep his word in our minds. So, that's all I have. All right.